Welcome to today's Everton Fans Forum podcast. It's myself, David, and I'm joined by two of our new members that hopefully you'll get to hear their voices a lot as we go over the next 3 years as they serve their elected term on the Fans Forum. So a big welcome to Chris and Rose.
Hiya. Nice to meet you.
So you'll be glad you'd be a couple more voices to you to listen to rather than just me whittering on, as I do most months. This is a bit delayed this month. Obviously, this was from the meeting that was on Thursday, the 5th of August. But due to the Florida Cup, various commitments and a lot of work that's had to go in meeting-wise in relation to trying to push the agendas in relation to ticketing and get that to where it needs to be, it is slightly more delayed than what we'd normally do. So I apologise for that, but we're here with you today either way. Just before we get going, I just want to say one thing, which was part of a big focus for us for many years has been our international retail distribution. Now, Everton fans, no matter where they are in the globe, should be able to get hold of Everton kits. In my mind, you know, we've constantly gone out, about this subject. You know, fans should be able to walk in. There should be that visible presence, and there shouldn't be these astronomical costs that we have seen. So I'm aware that there is an update coming out from the club in relation to the international retail. So we're keenly looking on to that to make sure that it needs to be where it, you know, it has to be. Our Blues right across the globe, whether it's Norway, Malaysia, and, you know, as close as Ireland, where our club captain is from, the Emerald Evertonian supporters group over there, you know, have tirelessly pushed this issue, and we're continuing to work with them to try and get a solution from Kitbag, because it's not good enough where it needs to be at the moment. And the Emerald lads there have also put together a petition, which I've signed personally. So just to make you aware of that as well. You know, we are here for our fellow fans, and we're going to continue to be pushing these matters for them. So look out for that Q&A when that comes out, because we'll be looking out for it with a keen eye. Hopefully that is expanded distribution, but let's see what the detail says when that comes out. So the first topic of note, there's been a huge development in the club's history, hasn't there, Rose, in relation to Bramley Moor Dock. So we'll start with that, if you can just take us through some of the discussion points on Bramley Moor.
Yeah, so the updates of Bramley Moor, very exciting, as David says there. The club, we took possession of Bramley Moor on the 26th of July, and then soon after that, the breaking ground has taken place as well. And a new website will host a webcam as well. And in addition to that, there'll be monthly updates available through e-newsletter, and podcasts. Just finally on that, the forum will host the first project meeting this month.
Yeah, excellent. So as you rightly mentioned there, Rose, I think it's an exciting one to start on, isn't it? It's long awaited, to actually get there. It does seem like we've been waiting forever, but obviously that extensive consultation has been going on with the fans, which, you know, it's good to see is finally in a place where we're breaking ground. And you lucky newbies to the forum as such, we've got the 3-year term that leads up to the Bramley Moor, so there's going to be loads of exciting extensive consultation that needs to take place with the wider fan base to make sure that, you know, this vital move is done right, really. Chris, Rose, have you got any further comments to make? What you're pretty much looking forward to on that?
I think all Evertonians are buzzing for it, aren't they? It's the beginning of the end of Goodison, but you know, it'll be fantastic, and if it can elevate us to the upper levels of the Premier League and Europe, then what more could be asked for as fans?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, looking at the photos and the videos of the designs of the stadium is really exciting. Of course, I love Goodison as well. The old fashioned feel and the pillar in the way of the pitch. Might miss that, but excited to see what happens over the next few years.
Definitely. I was speaking at an emotional day after the fan return at the weekend as well. So yeah, no exciting times are coming, and it's really interesting to be part of this. Now, I added that we've been significantly delayed on this, and I know pretty much I was on meeting after meeting last week, pushing on an issue, which was the tickets. You know, because for me, with any consultation or any new rollout, really speaking, you know, the consultation should go on months before it's rolled out. I do feel like the horse was bolted a bit on this, and then, you know, the club have been trying to make ground with the consultation side of things. But, you know, we've been pushing like mad to make sure we need to get the things that need to be in place there. So, Chris, I'll come over to you on this issue that's been a very contentious one for the, you know, rightly so, because, you know, we've been really, really chasing up on this, which was the 2021-22 season tickets, memberships, and obviously the ticket area.
Yeah, well, I was one of the lucky ones that decided to go for a mobile season ticket and was on Android. So I had quite a few, well, not sleepless nights last week, but, you know, feeling that I could miss out on what turned out to be an amazing day at Goodison on Saturday. As it was, to be fair, it all worked. It was all good on the night. I'll start with some of the numbers that the club provided us with in terms of season ticket and membership. We did have to move 140 of our fans were moved due to red zones. So with COVID going on, certain areas of the ground are still allocated as red. They can't be sat in. So these were mainly ones around the dugout. The seats were the fans were moved, but the feedback we've had from one of our forum members who was displaced was that that they were very good. They were very accommodating, and he was happy with this with the situation in the end. As we always do, it was another record-breaking year for season tickets. I think after 18 months off, everyone was ready to get back to Goodison. So nearly 31,000 of us renewed their season ticket holders. Renewed their season tickets, meaning that only a few hundred new season ticket holders were taken off the waiting list. A waiting list that now stands at 17,000 fans. So it's pretty long. The club did advise that purchasing membership will move you further up that waiting list. And we have requested that a blog of someone who's more recently got onto the season ticket level through that waiting list is produced, so fans don't feel that they're just on this list forever and they're not getting anywhere with it. Back onto the cards. So whether it's to do with the delays or that sort of thing, but 74% of people still opted to get the physical cards out there. As a forum, we did raise some of the issues around the digital cards, which involves, you know, not being able to pass to families and friends, that side of things, you know, if you can't go to the game. So that left just under 8,000, 26% going for the digital tickets. Our international Blues also raised a point about the membership, that the international membership package has some benefits that are less relevant to them, things like discount at the club shop or access to under 23 games and the women's game. And could they look at that international membership and give it more of a bespoke package for the fans out there? So looking more specifically at ticketing rather than membership and season tickets. So the issues with family and friend transfers, I said before, we raised it with the club. And they did say that should become an option for season ticket holders. I think a common sense approach. The club do know that that we do that sort of thing. And also, we did request an option for a donation to deserving fans if you can't go. So things like Ticket for Toffees and that, or going through Everton in the community to the fans that wouldn't necessarily go to a game. And are able to pick up tickets that way through the kind donations of our other fans. So, as we found out on Saturday, under the current regulations, there are no strict COVID restrictions. So within the ground, there was no need for physical distancing. There was a code of conduct. So masks were recommended. Contactless payments were being made, all that sort of thing, but that will potentially change if the government changes its stance going forward, but at the time the club have no plans to implement anything further than that.
I think that was an interesting. I think it was just to pick it up on that one, Chris. It was an interesting one, wasn't it? Because I know my dad. I was quite worried. Actually, my dad's just in remission from cancer. So he was working as a steward, which is the first time since his chemo. And I was worrying about, you know, how would it be in that kind of process. So I spoke to him since, and you know, he said he didn't experience any problems. He was in the away section there, and it seamlessly went through. I know there's still a few teething issues, which can be expected on the technology front. But, you know, I think most people's match day experience was very similar, despite, you know, a lot of concerns, which I voiced, actually, because I was really concerned about making sure that, you know, this occasion we all got back in together. But it was nice because we'd asked the club, haven't we, to make sure that we work with fans, to have that common sense approach to make sure that, look, we all, you know, we're all one big family. You know, this club that we all care about, we just need to make sure that we can get in, you know, in that process works as seamlessly as possible. But I think it's fair to say after Saturday, I think it did allay some of my fears. I don't know about yourself as well.
Yeah, it certainly did. You know, the worries about queues for spot checks of COVID passports, things like that. They took a really sensible approach. You know, they did spot checks for people. They made sure that we were all briefed beforehand. We all have a responsibility to keep each other safe. And then, yeah, once inside, we're all able to enjoy a great game, weren't we?
Definitely, yeah. And especially the results as well.
Yeah, definitely. So away from Goodison Park now, there were some questions raised to the club around the sale of away tickets. I think Man United during the friendly had issued digital tickets, and there was a worry that the Premier League or the club were going down a route of digital tickets that are non-transferable. The club did confirm that it's down to each individual away club to determine what sort of tickets they issue. But Leeds, which is our first away game of the season, they had sent over paper tickets. So it would be, again, just like Saturday, business as normal. If you're lucky enough to get a ticket for the away game next Saturday. In terms of the resale platform, so you might have seen that StubHub are no longer a partner. The club have decided to create their own platform for season ticket holders to be able to sell on their tickets. So this will involve the club selling them at face value. You will receive a credit for the amount that you paid for it, and the difference will go to Everton in the community. Now, the forum, we certainly raised some issues around the thinking behind some of this. The tickets won't be sold until they'd sold a set percentage or had sold out the general sale ones. Which raised questions that, you know, the fans won't get the best deal if you're selling the tickets, as Rose said at the start, behind pillars and not selling the season tickets first when the season ticket holders will usually have a better seat than the ones that are going on general sale. So we asked them to look at that. Me personally, I'm selling my Burnley ticket. And, you know, I'd rather they sold mine first and only gave me the money when the general sale tickets were sold, because if someone's going to the game, then they should have the best tickets and the best seats available. There was also questions about the price and that side of things. You know, I go back to this Burnley night game again. Usually it's the sort of game you'd sell for 15 quid or something like that, because it's a Monday night. The club will still be selling the ticket at full value, 45. And again, it might price out fans that wouldn't get to go to games for affordability reasons, and would usually see a sort of lower popular fixture like that as a way of getting a cheap ticket. So we have asked them to just go back and look at that side of things and address all the sort of scenarios other than, you know, a derby ticket not selling for £200 as it potentially was on StubHub.
Definitely. I think Grand's old team actually put an interesting post on. Actually, they were talking about, you know, the ability to sell them for much lower. And as you say, the likes of that Burnley game would fit that criteria, no doubt, where it's, you know, you'll have plenty of fans there that, and people out there, you know, it's a hard time for fans. You know, we've been through a lot this pandemic. There's people who have lost their jobs in this city. you know, people that, you know, that are self-employed who are struggling to make ends meet. You know, football's a way for us to bring us all together, bring communities together. And, you know, and they should have that outlet. So if we can reduce that, you know, that ticket down and give it to people that need that assistance, then let's just do it, you know. And like you say, you know, there's plenty of our international fans as well who, you know, don't necessarily, you know, get to go to the games, you know, every week. And when they do come over, you know, having that better option of having the best seats available as opposed to having to get the restricted views before, you know, the other tickets come, you know, right at the end. You know, let's just have a common sense approach. Let's get people into the grounds and, you know, let's bring fans together, you know, in the right way. So, yeah, there's still plenty of discussions to be had around that. I think it's fair to say as well, you know, we're always open to ideas. We do go out and consult and speak to other fans. So if you are listening and you've got a really good idea, or you think, you know, has anyone thought about this, then, you know, we've got fans from all over the globe and all different occupations with all kinds of experience. Get in contact with us, messages on Twitter, you know, our emails are attached there on the club website under the fans forum. And we're willing to listen, I think it's fair to say, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, from my own personal experience, growing up down in Cambridge, StubHub was my baby. It was the way I could get good seats, good prices, and know that I was going to a game before waiting for the general sale and that side of things. So it's something that we want right for all fans from wherever you are. We want you to have the best way of getting and the best tickets possible.
Just further to that as well, I'm going to come to you very shortly, Rose. I just wanted to address, obviously, there were also teething issues with, you know, the Man United game. You know, the tickets came up much too late. You know, and I know clubs are learning, but Barry Williams, very passionate away fan. You know, that's everyone will know Barry on the away scene. Was really pushing some of them big ticket issues over the Man United game. Now I know that's been and gone. But, you know, I think they were learning lessons that the club needs to learn on that, you know, especially when we are working with these other clubs to make sure all the processes are lining up the right way. So we haven't got fans running around with that insecurity, whether the ticket's going to come, not going to come, when it's going to come. So it's clear it all needs to run a bit smoother. And don't worry, you know, we'll continue to make sure that your concerns and you know, any issues that are raised there. I'm ready to work in a collaborative manner to make sure that, you know, the processes are streamlined to a nice and easy way, so we can all work with the club to make sure things happen correctly for the fans. So I think the other big thing that's obviously happened was what we just mentioned about pre-season. There was obviously our little trip over to America and the pre-season friendlies as a whole. Rose, I'll come to you for a few updates on that then, because obviously that was a discussion that was a really interesting one to listen to.
Yeah, so the updates with the pre-season games, something that's been quite important to myself and we've raised it on the forum is making the pre-season matches available on YouTube. I think just in terms of, you know, you've seen the other big clubs doing it to grow the global fan base, but also for, you know, domestic fans, you know, with the last year now that we've had with the pandemic and not being able to travel, I think it's just really important. We do know that part of the membership, part of the price is, Everton have mentioned there that the pre-season friendlies are a perk. But I know just from personal experience in the past, I think last season, you know, the link wasn't working and you know, and it has been substandard, but it has been raised in the forum, by the forum, like I say. But I do think that with this season, there was definitely a feel-good factor around the pre-season friendlies and the engagement in the USA that's been there for a long time now. And it seemed to go down well. The US fans in attendance in particular have been very complimentary of all events, both matches and fan engagement in general. Something that I liked that I saw on social media is the shirts. So the shirts were being sold at one of the events. I'm afraid I don't know which location, but yeah. So it's good to get the kits out. And I think the stall was sold out by the end of the game. I also wanted to single out Orlando for special praise due to facilitating local events. for example, an Irish bar and a tailgate party. And there are no numbers of Evertonian attendances due to Arsenal and Inter Milan withdrawing due to COVID. This resulted in refunds and all tickets were then general admission, but the club does have information from the tournament organisers. Next, as I said, we've suggested that all pre-season friendlies could be available to all as opposed to behind a membership paywall. Everton did acknowledge the idea, but stated that pre-season is a benefit for members both domestic and international. International rights generally mean that some pre-season games are available to watch in different regions, for example, with the Florida Cup. However, some under 23 and Women's Cup matches will be available this season without needing a membership, i.e. on YouTube, and I think that's really, really good.
So, yeah, so we also obviously covered the season return at the time. We have been through some of that already. Chris took us through with the ticket information. So, obviously, as soon as we do get a change or the Premier League instructions does change, that we'll make sure that, you know, that obviously we do attend the likes of the GSAG, the safety committee meetings and the, you know, the Premier League meetings there. So we'll make sure that the fans are listened to and views are voiced over to the Premier League. So, yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Rose. You know, it really positive Florida, the Florida Cup, and quite slightly jealous, you know, Tony on the Chicago Toffees, Tony Sampson's on the forum as well. He hasn't stopped going on about how good it was, so I am like slightly envious, but it was good to hear that first-hand experience as well, you know, and he obviously could give some really good insights to the club about how it went. Because him and the, you know, the North American Toffees and the, you know, the lads based over in Florida, with the supporters, all the supporters group really clubbed together to work with the club to make sure that that event was as good as it could be. So that's exactly, you know, a good example of how this kind of engagement can work. Obviously, just a note, a worthwhile mention is that the work on the European Super League is still going on. You know, the forum are working alongside stakeholder groups, and as soon as we've got an update to actually go out externally, we will do with that. But just rest assured, you know, we are still pushing with that and fan representation, following other, you know, the workshops that we've done, the survey that you would have completed. You know, the emails that we've all received via the inbox there as well. So a lot of work's going on at the moment. I think I'm actually spending more time at the moment with the forum stuff than I am in my own personal job. I think we've got 3 or 4 meetings this week. So, yeah, interesting times, but worthwhile. You know, it's important that, you know, that this work's done and fans' views are listened to and we get things right. And there's another issue that's closely on our radar at the moment. Obviously, we're part of the Football Supporters Association as well, the FSA, and they've obviously been releasing some comms in relation to Socios. So, you know, I'm watching that with a keen eye. Chris, it was discussed on the meeting, wasn't it? You know, it's not something I personally know a lot about, but I've been speaking to others that you know, some of our stakeholders and friends that know more about me. And it's really important that we get this one on the radar and understand what it means for our fans.
Yeah, definitely. For what, you know, for a meeting that had quite a lot of controversial topics, this is where it sort of peaked almost. Socios is a new commercial partner that Everton have put together. The club were trying to explain it to us as a sort of partnership agreement. Socios, you know, they get all the perks that any other partnership would have, which is, you know, interviews with players, it might be tours of the ground, things like that. I think where the forum weren't so keen with it and what other clubs around the country have suggested is that it's monetizing fan engagement, which we can all agree should be free. It shouldn't be who has the most money gets to engage the most with the club. Everyone should be on an even footing. Now, I think having watched the videos that Socios put out, there's coins that you can either purchase or you're given, or you can even stumble across in the real world using like a augmented reality thing. There's leaderboards for whoever is the best fan, and this will get you added benefits, almost like a raffle. But I think the issues that we had as, like I say, as a fan group, was that they're encouraging people to put a lot of money in or put money in with no real potential tangible benefit. And we don't want people getting hooked on this and thinking, oh, I'll just keep putting more and more money into this. I'll eventually get something out of it. We wanted it to be as it should be, free. And I think the club are going away to look at it and to give a bit of clarity to our fans, because I know there was a lot of sort of negative reaction to this, and not many of us really could see the benefit of it to fans other than parting with more money. But the club did stress to us that this is still just a commercial partnership. They get all the benefits that any other commercial partner, Cazoo, someone like that would get, and that it won't replace the good work of the fan engagement team, who do an excellent job in engaging with all our fans in normal circumstances and without the need for us to part with our money to do so.
Yeah, thanks very much for that, Chris. I think it's worth holding off, until we find that extra detail out, because there are them concerns there, and it's important that we get a lot clarified before that proceed, really. Thanks very much for that, Chris. It's definitely interesting times, like you say. Fan engagement it's free. It should be free. It's implemented to be free, and the guidance says as such. So, we're going to continue to push on this till we get the answers that we need. Rose, obviously another side, I know we've already touched on the international side and we're waiting for further clarification on that. That's due out imminently in this Q&A. But obviously there's a lot of areas of retail. I know that you're a kit enthusiastic, aren't you, Rose? it's an issue that you really enjoy the retail side of things. So there was just a little update there as well in relation we were informed online about a couple of issues with the new range.
Yeah, the retail part of the forum has raised the issue of an apparent £5 markup of a training top this week as well. So we'll see what the update is from the club.
Yeah, because obviously, again, this is another example of them not having to go to kit bag to seek this clarification. But yeah, if an item's popular, for me, it's whatever price it goes on, as it should stay at that.
Yeah.
And if anything come down, if it get, as and when it goes throughout the season, not go up. So yeah, it was a slight concern that there was a £5 markup. So we need to find out why, really. Because I definitely want that blackout kit that's just come on there. That's fantastic. By the time I get round to buying it in January, it'll probably on that way to it needs to be coming down. It can't be doing that. So it is concerning. That's another one that needs to be raised for kit bag. Retail's a big issue that we've pushed on for a long time and will continue to push on. Again, let's make kits as affordable as possible, accessible as possible for our fans, no matter where they are in the globe. And let's not, ask for these extortionate prices or look to ask for more money out of our loyal fans.
Definitely.
So I think that brings, I think it was nearly three and a half hours, that meeting the other night. So that was a shortened version. Obviously, this will be backed up by our slightly longer minutes, just to add a bit of context to them. So obviously the people listening, you can understand, our passionate feelings about some of these issues that we'll continue to raise on your behalf. Before I finish, Chris or Rose, have you got any more reflections for our listeners?
No, just it was fantastic to be back in the ground again. And I hope everyone had as good a time on Saturday as I did. It was emotional to start with. It was drab for half of it. And then it was just Everton were back. It was just brilliant. And credit to everyone that's made it happen. And particularly the customer service staff that must have worked very long hours throughout that last week to get everything sorted and everyone in the ground without issue. So, yeah.
Definitely, Chris. And, I agree on that. I think, again, we've raised is from a customer service point of view. Just reminded me then, obviously, some of the wait times were outrageous, really. And I know that you know, the ticket staff are doing is, you know, we're working around the clock, working as hard as they can, but we need more. If that's the case, we need to get, you know, we need to solve these issues before they become issues, and maybe the lines wouldn't be as busy then. Because, you know, some fans have experienced some crazy wait times, weren't they?
And I think a bit of forward planning on that behalf, you know, a lot of it last week was the digital tickets, and, you know, season ticket holders, they've known how many people were having them for months now, so maybe let's not leave it till 3 days before to issue them next time, and we won't have these crazy wait times for people. It'll be more spread over, less panic.
Yeah, definitely, mate. The forward plan and the consultation needs to be much better, you know, we'll keep pushing to make sure that it is. Obviously, the other side of things, as I suggested the other day, was a web chat feature as well. You know, quite a lot of people who are coming through with, like, frequently asked questions, or, you know, questions that could be serviced quite quick. You know, from a customer service background, you know, you've got 10 web chats on the go, you know, you can get that queue right down, you know, so people aren't just, you know, waiting for an hour just for really kind of low-level inquiry. Likewise, digital, you know, put on the digital accounts when tickets are being sent out, and that's a query answered, really, because people don't have to phone to progress check or have that uncertainty then as well. So there's plenty of areas that can be improved, you know, and hopefully we can work with the club to make sure that it is where it needs to be. Thanks very much for that, Chris.
Yeah, certainly on Thursday, and again, credit to the customer service. I emailed in saying I hadn't received my Android link, and it was with me 8 minutes later. So yeah, again, we'll push for them to make it clear to people that actually you don't need to sit on the phone for 10 hours. If you email in with your issue, you'll get a really good and quick response.
Definitely, very good point, Chris. Rose, anything for yourself?
I'm just glad to see Everton back, yeah, with the fans there and to get 3 points. Yeah, I echo Chris's sentiments entirely, yeah.
Thank you, Rose, and thank you, Chris, and thank you for everyone that's listening. We'll be probably in a few weeks' time, we'll be back again. But yeah, it's great to start with great results. The Blues are back, and hopefully we'll be flying up that table in no time. Bye for now. Catch you soon.